Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show. On the Mark, you okay, buddy?
I am. I'm excited today.
Okay. And the reason?
Because I think President Trump had a very exciting interview last night on CNN.
Okay.
And because we have a very good guest in the studio this morning.
Okay. We got everything going on
we
today.
We do. It's going to be a great show.
Joe McGranahan, good Republican, natural-born listener. I'm being facetious. He actually doesn't want to hear any opposing opinions at all whatsoever.
And always happy to hear Republican opinions.
He wears a MAGA hat, but only when it's ridiculously sunny so he doesn't get a sunburn. Lynn Hull's our fabulous producer. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host. Nope, Rob Center. Holy smokes. I got to look more
you
carefully.
You can't tell the difference between Rob and Lynn?
I can, but I kind of assumed. And
Well, you know what assumptions are.
No, tell me what they are.
No, I can't say
okay.
that on air.
All right, we do have a good guest with you. Sunbury Motor Company is our sponsor. Mike O'Donnell is back. We got a chance to meet him initially on our WKOK Sunrise program, and now he's going to be on the mark. So we'll have a short segment of open phones today if folks have questions that they want to ask him about his campaign. He's running for Northumberland County District Attorney. He's on the Republican ballot, and nobody's on the Democratic ballot, right?
That's correct.
Okay, so he is a conflicts counsel in Northumberland County, which means he helps whenever the judges have handled some previous cases, he helps defend anybody, or if the DA has handled a previous case, right?
So it's mainly with the public defender's office. So if the public defender's office has a conflict, or there's more than one co-defendant, then they would appoint conflicts counsel. There's a couple of us, but I'm one of the conflicts counsels that they would appoint.
All right, he's a private attorney in Sunbury. Too, so folks will be familiar with that. I describe you as a family man. Complete that description with lots more elaboration, please.
I've recently had my first child, so he's about a month and a half old at this point in time, so good time to have your first child during your first election season and, running
around.
You're
probably not getting much sleep. Yeah.
Well, I thank my wife for, really putting up with me and the baby, so I know she's also working hard, so it's it takes a whole family effort to get things done.
It's always interesting when the spouse says, "Well, the timing is not too good here." But then again, you say, "Well, look, you got to seize all these opportunities while you can." Okay, so tell us more about yourself, maybe your judicial temperament, that kind of thing. If you're going to be the district attorney, sort of a law enforcement mindset is part of it. Plus, why time for a change in the DA? There is an incumbent DA. I do not know if he's running for office or not, but. Why are you running?
I'll get to, the just general theory of, criminal justice reform that I would look at. And, right now there's two main theories, so punishment and rehabilitation. And right now in Northumberland County, we're not really doing either of those. We're not stuck with the rehabilitation because we don't have a work release program and, getting guys, good foundation to, get back into the community and pay back their debts and get some money to, be able to support themselves. And as far as punishment goes, we're also not punishing people. We have, word has gotten around about slaps on the wrists and, how the, the headset's kind of messing me up today, but with the sentencing itself, we're not applying, deadly weapon enhancements. We're not applying domestic violence enhancements. And these are, one of the reasons why our sentences are so, so weak, is that we're not using these enhancements that are already there. Another thing is, with the way bail is treated, right now, bail is something that you're allowed to violate. You're allowed to, commit offenses while out on bail. That's something that, bail is, you have a right to have it, but once you receive bail, you don't have a right to continually go and violate the law and remain out on bail. And, you know, that's something I've heard a lot on the campaign trail is, you know, especially from victims is, you know, why is this person out when they're, you know, they've committed new crimes and, you know, they're violating their bail. Is that, you know, should they be out? And, you know, the answer is no. I mean, and again, this word gets around and, you know, I think you, again, we're not punishing people correctly and we're not rehabilitating them. And I think that's, you know, we need to have a full 180 degree change in that office.
I must admit, I'm surprised you said we don't have in Northumberland County a work release program.
Not for the last 8 years.
Why not?
So when the prison burned down, the old prison, we went to SCI Cole Township because that was a state prison. They couldn't do work release there. Now at the new prison, my understanding is that we're so understaffed that they just can't. They can't afford to do it. There's not people to run in. I mean, again, I've never, I guess there might be something with the facility itself. You know, these are all things that I would plan on fleshing out, but no, to not having it is not really an answer. We have to get something in there to allow a work release program because right now the only options are either, you know, you receive probation or, you know, potentially a slap on the wrist county sentence or you go to state prison. I mean, sometimes, you know, you need to be incarcerated, but keep your job. And, you know, especially for things like DUIs, you know, where there is mandatory sentencing, right now you have to give, you know, these offenders house arrest, you know, because you can't send them to jail for a, you know, a few days because they're going to lose their job or, you know, there's no work release program for them to, you know, work while they're incarcerated.
Isn't it a moneymaker? I mean, you actually wind up charging the people for the services that they get, right?
Yeah, and there's jobs out there. I mean, they're, you know, the with the program, essentially, you're able to essentially take half of what they're bringing in. And, you know, not only is it a moneymaker for the county, and it also, you know, keeps inmates and, you know, people who are in the prison, you know, keeps them busy so they're not, you know, causing issues. And one of the big, big things with it is that, you know, while someone's on work release and while they're incarcerated, I mean, they're far less likely to cause issues in the prison because they don't want to have their work release removed. And,
right,
you know, that's something I've learned from going to prisons all over the state and going to, you know, state prisons is how, you know, to better essentially structure this. And, again, with not having that program, I mean, you're having more idle hands. And, you know, when you have idle hands, I mean, that's when people get in trouble and the prison becomes a more dangerous place.
Well, what would the district attorney's role be in that?
So the district attorney is on the prison board. So that's one of the things I would be able to do is be on the, you know, prison board, help oversee and really push this forward because, I mean, again, I'm willing to think outside the box on it. If there's, for some reason, it can't be done at, you know, at the current prison location, then we'll have to, you know, look for other options. I mean, I know Philadelphia, you know, they don't always run work release out of their prison. I mean, they have other, you know, options. I think I talked about this last time
sure,
I was on.
Pre-release centers.
Yes, pre-release centers and things like that. So, I mean, we have to get something done, you know, just saying that we can't do it is not an option because it doesn't serve the community and it doesn't serve our victims and it doesn't serve the defendants that are incarcerated.
Well, there's available land and available buildings on the Northwestern, former Northwestern campus that could be used for pre-release. And I believe a broad law enforcement continuum was part of the vision maybe 7 years ago. I mean, it was a while back.
I still hear it being discussed from time to time. Again, I think that would help having, you know, have that whole area up there to use. But there are, I mean, even though the prison's out, you know, in Cole Township, I mean, there are employment opportunities out there and, you know, you just have no way of having, you know, individuals at the prison work there. And, you know, again, that's just doesn't serve anyone.
The the current district attorney didn't get papers filed in time. Have you heard if he is running? We have not.
So I haven't heard an announcement or anything. I can just say from myself, I mean, I'm also running as a write-in on the Democrat side. I'm looking to try to turn the page on May 16th, being both the Republican candidate and the Democrat write-in candidate. So I've been going around to both Republican and Democrat homes. I'm trying to, you know, be the candidate for both parties. It's hard to say, you know, exactly what he's doing. You know, I guess I would kind of say this is par for the course. Both, you know, elections office quagmire, I guess I would say, and, you know, the fact that nothing's been announced. I mean, this is kind of the way that office is run. And again, I think this kind of makes my point of why we need change.
Well, you know, one of the things you always hear about is prosecutorial discretion. So you have a lot to say about what someone gets charged with, what they face in the way of punishment. So what's your philosophy about that?
So, again, I think that right now in Pennsylvania, the way we look at things is there's like the prior record score, obviously, if someone has prior offenses and the gravity of the offense. Again, I think here we really need to look at, is this someone that we can rehabilitate out the county? And if we can't rehabilitate them at the county, it doesn't mean they can't be rehabilitated. I mean, the state prison system has its own, has its own programs, has its own systems, a way to rehabilitate people. But we really have to make that difference of, is this someone we can help at the county? And we have limited resources. And so is this someone that we can put our resources in and help? Or, is this, someone who needs to be, in the state prison system? And, and there's also, is this a crime in which, we're ultimately looking at rehabilitation as the main goal, or are we looking at as punishment? Because, I mean, someone could, commit a violent offense, and, that's not something, that you're really, looking for rehabilitation on some of these times. And, that's more of a punishment offense, a victim crime. And, that's a state sentence. And you have to, be, stern to the serious and violent offenses, because, right now we're not putting that attention to anything. And, I think we have to prioritize on, these violent crimes and sexual crimes, and make sure that we stop this in our area and stop the increase of, of crime that we see here.
Well, you mentioned that the current district attorney has let some things slide that you would rather see not slide. But has the office been given by the county enough resources to adequately do the job? And if not, what would you like to see added?
I mean, one of the big things I would say, and it goes with, pay of staff. I mean, you have to, pay your staff, and you have to invest in your county. And one of the biggest issues I see is not, paying staff to a degree where they have to, as soon as you train them, they leave. And, I know, they're looking for a judge's secretary, and they wanted someone with experience. And, what they were offering, is honestly insulting for someone who had, past legal experience. And you have to spend money, to be able to, protect the people of this community. And it's not, by doing that, sometimes it's more up front, but you're saving yourself in the long term, because every time you have to cycle someone out, this did happen in the DA's office where they lost a number of ADAs, and, it's hard to replace them, because when you, when you lose someone like that, not only do they have all that knowledge of the case, but then you have to and retrain someone, but they have to go through that case themselves, and they have to take that time, and that takes their time away from other cases. And so, that has led to the delay in cases as well. And, that's one of my biggest issues I have, is not, properly supporting, especially the lower staff, and, paying people a livable wage.
How many assistant DAs are there, Mike?
I believe there's five. And again, I think they're requested one more. I mean, one issue I've always bring up is, having a district attorney who's there. I mean, you really need to be in the office to oversee everything, be hands-on and really train these, the ADAs, because that's something that, you're not really going to be able to change. I mean, that position is, it's getting harder and harder to find, people who want to be assistant district attorneys. And, you're not always going to be able to get, a high level of pay for them. But what you can do is you can promise them that when you work in this county, you're going to get experience, you're going to learn things the right way, and you're going to take cases to trial. And, you're going to be able to transfer that experience to wherever you go. Right now, the way things work in Northumberland, I mean, if you work in Northumberland, Northumberland County. You don't know how things work in Snyder, Union, or Dauphin. You can't transfer that education or learning anywhere. And that's one of the things where I've learned in working in other counties, and being all over the state, is, how things run other places, and being able to bring that, to this county. And I think if you have someone who's going to be hands-on and, be there every day and train the, staff that's there, that will create an incentive for people to stay more, and rather than, essentially being on their own and you know, learning everything themselves, which it is right now.
Catch them while you can. Mike O'Donnell's with us. Another 5 minutes. We're going to open up the phone, so if you'd like to ask him a question, feel free to do so. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. It's 570-743-9565. You can also email us at onthemark@wdkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. We only have about 4 minutes left, so I don't want to skip anything that you think is important. I believe you head off to trial when we're done here.
Yes,
right?
That's correct.
As conflicts counsel. So, okay. So, tell us more about you and more of this reform that's needed, so folks are 100% clear what they're in store for if they elect you.
So I'll try to explain it as quick as possible because it is a little complicated. So one of the things that I really harp on is this formal arraignment system. I mean, right now, one of the reasons why nothing in Northumberland runs with any rhyme or reason is because we don't really follow the rules of criminal procedure. I would like to have these formal arraignment hearings instituted back where we're actually having them. At that hearing, it's important because not only does the timeline for your filing motion start, but you're given a copy of your criminal information. You're told that you need an attorney. And we don't have these hearings at all. The district attorney's office doesn't serve information. They don't have this hearing to tell people they need attorneys. So that's why you have your first hearing comes up and everyone, you know, I need counsel and I don't have this, or, you know, I want to request discovery. And that should be addressed at this hearing, and that should be putting cases on track to, you know, follow in a certain manner. Right now, we don't have that system in place, and so that's why everything is kind of just spread out and run all in different ways, because there's no consistent system that we use. And that would be the first thing I'd want to get in there and have a system to have things run in a normal course and make sure we're not dragging trials on for 4 or 5 years. And, you know, you need to put these cases, you know, they need to be done in an efficient manner, because if you have, for example, like I tell a story all the time, a sexual assault case, and, you know, child's 13, you know, when the crime happens, and by the time you go to trial, it's 5 years later, the child's 18. You know, that's an adult. I mean, that's a massive difference between what the jury sees and, you know, what actually happened at that time. And, you know, these delays that we're having in our courthouse, I mean, not only are they completely unnecessary, but they're not providing justice to victims, and they're not providing, you know, justice to defendants.
I remember we used to cover as a reporter formal court arraignments, because that's where you'd find out the pleas were being formulated and or trials were definitely going to take place, or and not guilty pleas from defendants. They often wanted that broadcast as, you know, as part of their trip through the court system. Go ahead, John.
I was going to say, with respect, you brought up young people. That certainly is a concern in today's world. Crimes against young people, scams against the elderly. Mm-hmm. Are there things like that you'd like to see the office become more proactive about? And if so, how?
One of the things I've done with the campaign is I run a pretty active Facebook page and website, and I'm very transparent, easy to contact. And I think that's something where you have to get this information out. You know, have something be at least a Facebook page or a website you're using where you're constantly updating information and constantly getting that word out, because, you know, these scams are getting more and more advanced. They're getting more, you know, day by day they change, and you got to be able to adapt and, you know, keep people informed. So I want to have a way to, you know, keep on getting the information out, being as transparent as possible. And so I found, you know, people are really willing to communicate on social media, so that's one of the things that we'll do is keep
say the very least.
we'll keep an active social media presence, and again, I will be at the office every day, and so, you know, people can come to the office and they can have a meeting with the district attorney. And that sounds strange, but that's not something that happens right now.
So you're going to have an active Facebook DA's page where people can comment?
Well, I'm very transparent, and, you know, I think, you know, that's one of the things I've tell people about not being a politician is that, you know, I will deal with the tough issues. Okay. I will, you know, not hide, and, you know, I'm not going to, you know, not say things because it might harm my political future. I'm, you know, going to be.
Well, it's not that. I mean, the defendants are going to say, he prosecuted me and I'm innocent.
Yeah.
So Mike's wrong on this one.
Yeah.
Everybody else is guilty. But,
That's true.
Well, we don't have any time left. So please, you can say 30 seconds of a closing statement if you'd like.
Just again, thank you for having me on. Again, I'm asking for support on May 16th. I'm the Republican candidate, but I'm also asking for write-ins from the Democrat side. So you can write in the name Michael O'Donnell, and I can help me be the candidate for district attorney on the Democrat side as well.
Well, good luck.
All right. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Stay in
touch. Mike O'Donnell, a conflicts counsel in Northumberland County right now, private attorney, but, of course, folks that have been in the courtrooms around here have seen him all over the place doing his good defending and his good court work, so we appreciate that. We will have a segment of open phones when we return.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back. WKFK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Speedy Dialers, as we head towards the top of the hour, on the Mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236.
Did you see President Trump's town hall last night with CNN?
He managed to offend
almost everybody.
I did not. I thought it was interesting that he was willing to do it, but I think it's part of his shtick to look as presidential as possible because, you know, he used to do that kind of thing.
I don't think he looked very presidential, honest with you.
Joe, I think he's a buffoon. Okay, so let's get that out of the way.
I don't think he's a buffoon, but I'll be honest with you. I think he can be pretty scary with some of his, you know, the way he behaves, certainly. I mean, he's still coming down on that woman. And, of course, CNN and MSNBC this morning is calling him a convicted sex offender, practically. Which he isn't, you know, and they're making it sound like he apparently denigrated this woman again last night, claiming he doesn't know her. The verdict's a disgrace. He still won't abandon the claim that the election in 2020 was stolen from him. He believes that. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't apologize to Mike Pence and said that Mike Pence did something wrong by not voiding the election and sending it back to the states, which is absurd.
I heard that excerpt, yep.
Right. You know, he just... They used to say of the Bourbon Kings, they learn nothing, they forget nothing. I'm afraid he's very much like them. He doesn't seem to learn anything new, and he doesn't seem to be able to get rid of what's in the past. And I think the American people today, we're looking at the Biden administration, we're looking at what Trump did, and we're saying, you know, we're tired of this stuff. We want to move this country forward, not just harping on the same old tired themes and grievances over and over again. Let's say the 2020 election was a massive fraud. What good does that do us now? You know, if there are safeguards in the future, right, we can't go back and redo it. And really, the Tilden race, when President Tilden should have been the president of the United States instead of Rutherford B. Hayes, but it was Tilden who was really shafted. The election really was stolen from him, and he was a good American. And he said, you know, we're not going to go through this. And even Al Gore accepted the fact that the hanging chads didn't go his way.
You're saying President Trump isn't gracious?
No, not only isn't he gracious, he can be downright scary.
Right.
I mean, he has this whole list. You just get the feeling that he has a whole list of people that he's ready to either pardon, and that they're the January 6th people.
Yeah, I heard that. Were you surprised at that?
I thought
you're going to have blanket pardons for people who broke into the Capitol?
Well, he said some of them may have gotten carried away. Right, I don't know how he was going to define
carried
away.
Oh, he won't pardon those guys.
Right. Okay. He won't pardon those who got carried away.
I wonder how many
away.
That is. Well, anyway,
he didn't say, but there were some 620 that were.
I believe 300 some.
I thought he said 620.
Yeah, you could be right. I kind of lost track of the.
I don't know the number either. I'm just that's stuck in my head for one reason or another.
It's hundreds for sure.
But he, you know,
he was nasty. He called the moderator, who I thought was fair. She tried to ask him some tough questions.
I heard this excerpt.
Right. He called her a nasty woman.
Yeah, right to her face.
Right to her face, yeah. You know, says he doesn't have any idea who E. Jean Carroll is, and yet he identified her as his former wife in a photograph. But he takes no this is what irritates me. He takes no responsibility for anything. Everything is always what someone else did to him. You know, to call him a narcissist is not an insult. It's an accurate descriptor.
All right. Well, I tried to tell you that 3 short years ago.
We still, even brought he was a better president than the guy that's in there now.
I don't know. At least
I do.
This president has gotten some work done that he wanted to do. You can argue that they're not good ideas, but in any event, okay, so you think he was
the border's hemorrhaging, inflation's
way up.
Well,
that's a dilemma. Yeah, the border is a big problem. That's a it's really crisis level, and it's going to get worse after today. So, but yeah, that's you know, it's funny too, because when Joe Biden ran for office, he said, you know, President Trump has caused all these problems, and I'm going to fix them. And, you know, maybe President Biden has fixed some dilemmas, but certainly
really.
The border.
He hasn't fixed that. Well, yeah, he's fixed it really good. Like the Three Stooges fix a car when the garage and they're working in.
Yeah, with a rubber mallet, putting spark plugs in. All right, well, we're going to take a break, but we'll get more reaction to President Trump's appearance on CNN last night, as all presidents do. He appeared on CNN. Caitlin Collins did a pretty good job trying to fact check him a little bit.
So. I did too.
This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Welcome on board WKOK's live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
I'm Joe McGranahan.
Mr. Joe McGranahan is our co-host today. He plays a conservative. He's not a natural-born listener. I just say that puffery to be kind, but, you know.
It's sort of like when I say you're strikingly handsome.
Well, that's a little bit different.
Not to me, it isn't.
It's a contractual
Speak
obligation.
Of puffery.
And it's true.
Well, you do some days look like you've been struck. I will concede that point.
Like it by a train.
Right.
Oh, no. Come
Something heavy. A heavy metal object.
Well, today, Joe, never mind. I won't even say it.
I know I look struck.
You must have been out mowing yesterday. That's all I'll say.
Well, thanks a lot.
570. 5-7.
I'm mowing yesterday.
We're going to start laughing again uncontrolled. Remember, we did that the other week.
Yeah,
Matt recorded that.
Oh,
he has it over in the newsroom. If you're having a bad day, he plays it back. You and I laughing.
You said you were going to make that one of our promos.
Well, I'm not going to. There's no need to promote me, so I don't think that'll help. Kevin always says, don't do a promo if it doesn't encourage people to listen to the show. Well, I don't think
Us laughing encourages people to listen.
Uncontrollably, it's going to do it. All right. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open, 570-743-9565. That's 570-743-WKOK. We'd love to hear from you. Maybe you haven't called in a while. Maybe you're calling from New Jersey or Texas or something like that. And we did talk a little bit about the southern U.S. borders. Lots of our good listeners who listen distantly know all about the border and Title 42 that
right.
ends today. So they say there's about 100,000 folks waiting at the border for Title 42 to end so they can come into the U.S. at various points. So that's going to be another big influx. Of course, we're already up, I think, 2, 3, 4 million additional illegal immigrants in the U.S. and or asylum seekers, depending on what they did. And President Trump talked a little bit about that last night in his CNN town hall. I'm assuming he is like far and away the front runner now for the presidential nomination. Sort of Ron DeSantis was often talked about, but you don't hear as much from him.
Yeah, well, among the other charges the CNN people are saying this morning, he wouldn't say he wants Ukraine to win the war.
Oh, well, you know, he had a good answer, I thought. He said, what I really want, I don't want to focus on winning or losing. I want to focus on getting this thing settled so that people stop dying.
I heard that.
I didn't think that was a bad answer.
Strangely diplomatic.
I thought that was a rather good answer,
from
you know.
President Trump. Yep,
and really, it was a smart move in his part because he didn't prejudice himself to bound on one side or the other. But, of course, the media says immediately, continuing his love affair with Vladimir Putin, he refused to say that he hoped Ukraine would win the war. I'm sorry, but I think that he said was absolutely the right thing to say.
On the mark, sponsor by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Phone number 570-743-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 70236. Include the keyword OTM. Some very brief news headlines. There was a lawn mowing accident in Lower Northumberland County yesterday. 80-year-old Paul Hoke of Reebok died in the incident in Washington Township, Northumberland County. He was crushed by a mower that rolled over in a hilly section of property there. News item reporting today on a chase that happened late last night in Northumberland County. Ended with a motorcyclist being airlifted to a hospital. The news item reports that the pursuit began around 10 p.m. and continued on Mid Valley Road and Route 42 before the operator crashed. As he was being pursued by police, that motorcycle crashed north of Centralia. The individual was taken by ambulance to Aristus, where a medical helicopter was standing by. No tax increase in the Shikellamy School District. $54.7 million budget passed for the 2023-2024 school year with zero tax increase. It was approved during Tuesday's public meeting. The board did not have to make any cuts in order to keep taxes from rising there. Plus, they're getting ready to do a stadium project at Shikellamy. We got one call coming in. There we go. All right. A new Biden administration policy will require migrant families seeking asylum to undergo home curfew and GPS tracking. While officials determine whether they should be allowed to stay in the country or be deported, ICE reported yesterday the program known as Family Expedited Removal Management Process will require some migrant adults who cross the U.S. border illegally with minor children to wear GPS ankle monitors to comply with the curfew. Of course, the families will be kept together under this program in the U.S. And CNN hosted a town hall last night in Manchester, New Hampshire, with former President Donald Trump. And here's a report about that.
On the CNN town hall, the former president was asked about many hot-button issues, including the debt ceiling. He says Republicans should hold firm on their demands.
I think the Democrats will absolutely cave.
He maintained he doesn't know columnist E. Jean Carroll.
I never met her. I have no idea who she is.
Who was awarded $5 million this week in a civil lawsuit against him. And when asked who he thinks will win Russia's war in Ukraine,
I don't think in terms of winning and losing. I think in terms of getting it settled so we stop killing all these people.
Stacey Lynn, CBS News.
All right, there you go. Our next president of the United States of America on CNN. And finally, inflation is only up 5%. That was word from the White House.
Wow.
No,
hey,
I kid you not.
Only up 5%. That's my new slogan.
Yep, big positive remarks from the White House yesterday. According to the Consumer Price Index, everything cost an average of 5% more in April, except for gasoline, which the price is going down, obviously, solely because of President Biden's efforts. Some things are more expensive, like groceries, up about 7%. That you can blame on Trump. It's a sign of higher interest rates are working to keep a lot of Americans
from... How can you blame grocery prices going up on Trump? Just out of curiosity, what is the Marktopian economics involved here?
I'll tell you later.
Yeah, right.
Stan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
So it's Trump's fault groceries are high. Okay, we'll go with that. You know, everything else is his fault, so why not, right?
It's an indefensible statement. Move on.
Anyways, you know, on the news there, they were talking, Mayorkas was saying, well, what he usually lies about, the border is not open. But what was he saying? If illegals don't pass muster on their reason for asylum, they would be returned to where they came from. Was that sort of roughly what he said. Did you catch that?
I think they have to have applied. They have to show that they've applied either online or from some other country for asylum before we will accept them.
Yeah, they've actually done about four different little things that should probably reduce the volume of illegal immigrants by about 1%.
Yeah, right.
They're all illegal if they're crossing the border without permission, period. And this little app that they got, that's a pile of horse dung, too. First of all, we wouldn't have to determine whether they're not, you know, coming in legally, I mean, with reason for asylum, if they weren't in the country. Because right. You know that the asylum hearings take years to happen. So these people will just disappear into the shadows and will never be seen again.
Yeah, but more just as frightening is the fact that the mainstream media completely rejected and refused to cover. There was zero coverage on ABC, CBS, and NBC of the very, I thought, dramatic proof that the Republicans offered yesterday that the Biden family is enriching itself at the public's expense.
Well, yeah, why would they want to do that? Because their narrative has been for over two years that Biden knew nothing about anything that was going on with Mr. Hunter.
CNN or CBS is reporting on it.
Well, they didn't report last night on their 6:30 newscast. None of them did. None of them had a story about it.
But even worse, Joe,
it's
is the past CIA, the head of the CIA, colluding with 50-some other CIA officers and heads of CIA on behalf of Mr. Blinken to come up with a talking point that the Hunter laptop story was Russian disinformation. Okay? They affected the election. They're trying to, they turn the people, just like they go into other countries and try and influence elections there when they don't like the persons that are running.
Yep.
That's dangerous.
I agree. It is dangerous.
That is very dangerous, and they continue to do it. The FBI refuses to hand over the information they have from the whistleblower about Biden and getting pay for play for policy decisions through the remaining. He was paid for that. There was a guy that came to the FBI and said this happened, and they did have a report because they took the statement, and they refused to turn that over.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, and there was a story, one of the things they had, and they have bank records to prove all this stuff. I mean, they're not making it up. A lot of intertwined corporations and little corporations made for some specific purpose. They have no idea that they ever made or did anything useful. But one of them was reportedly owned by a Biden female relative in Delaware who's a teacher. And some of the foreign countries are giving her hundreds of thousands of dollars for what?
Yeah,
well, really, exactly. And how many Biden family members are teachers? The only one I know of is Miss Jill.
Now, yes, CBS still has it as number 6 on their website in terms of course, President Trump is the top one, and number 2 is their fact-checking of President Trump.
Of course.
CNN did do a story yesterday, but it is not on their front page anymore.
And I love they fact-check Trump every time he speaks, but they don't fact-check Karine Jean-Pierre, who lies on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
And
last night, I didn't watch the town hall because I was working, but I did hear a clip of, you know, when Trump was asked, you know, whether he thought Ukraine or Russia should win over there, and he gave the right response, as you said, Joe.
Right.
Because if they want the President of the United States to help negotiate an end to it, you can't be taking sides.
Is that what he said? He would stop in 24. He'd make sure it stopped in 24 hours.
No, he didn't say
in 24
that.
Hours it would stop.
That's
whatever.
What I thought. Okay.
Did he say that? I missed that.
Yeah,
part.
It was a lot of elaboration.
Yeah, there was some to that point. You know, whether that could happen or not, who knows? Probably not. But either way, he's right. The people need to stop dying. Now, quite frankly, Russia should be defeated, but Ukraine can't defeat Russia. Okay, it's just impossible. Are they going to invade Russia and take over land and just decimate their military? No, it's not going to happen. Now, the Russians, if they really wanted to, could probably do that in Ukraine. But if they destroy everything in Ukraine, what they're going in there for is the farmland and the dock and ports and all that. That takes a lot of money to rebuild all that, so and to clean it all up. So I don't see that happening either. They'd like to just have the Ukrainians, give up or whatever, and carry on their merry way.
All right.
Okay.
You know, in my opinion, Russia invaded. They're in the wrong period. Now, Ukrainians has been known to be corrupt, so they're not, you know, clean as the wind-driven snow neither. But, you know, they should have never been invaded. That was, but with Biden in charge, there was no incentive for Russia to stay out, period.
All right,
he knew Putin knew he had his chance, and he took it. And here we are.
We got you, sir. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate your call, as always. Take care.
Yep. Appreciate it. All right, one quick email on this topic, and then I'll have to take the break.
Says, banner day at KOK, Mark playing a liberal and Joe poorly playing a conservative. The woman on CNN was nasty and deserved to hear Trump say so. Sorry, but she was not nasty.
Well, and the other thing is, often in broadcast, if somebody is nasty to you, you don't say it. You try to be gracious. You know, you try to be the bigger person.
What I would like to see
is presidential, maybe.
I would like to see Joe Biden go on stage with a Fox host and see how well he does over an hour and 10 minutes.
Right.
I guarantee you he'd be stumped in the first 30 seconds.
Fox enjoys Biden for lunch. Film at 11. All right. Well, whoever sent that email, if you think you can do better than Joe and I, you ready to retire, buddy?
Right, we'll
got
step
a volunteer.
Aside.
We got a volunteer here. All right, 570-743-9565. When we come back, we're going to talk to a caller who has a response to Vinnie Clausi's observations. That'll be coming up shortly here on WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back. We're enjoying open phones. Joe and I are. I wouldn't say our previous emailer is, but we are. 570-743-956, the email, and 70236 is the text. Include the keyword OTM. Our next guest is an individual who's been on this program about 2 weeks ago. I believe it was, the 27th of April, and is back. Sam Shikitana, chairman of the Northumberland County Commissioners. Listened to Vinnie Clausi's remarks yesterday, and he, as anybody can call in the show and give a response. So good morning, Sam. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Sam.
Good morning, Mark and Joe. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I do come to work every morning and listen to your show, and yesterday I happened to hear, you know, Vinny and actually Craig Fetterman make some statements, and I just would like to clarify them. So I think that the listeners at least can hear the truth about what they were talking about. If I can, I'd like to address first the permitting issue when Craig Fetterman called in. I think Joe said very clearly what the actual thing is. Permit fees can only be used for the cost of what it is to inspect the properties that are being built. And I think Mr. Fetterman sort of said that their permit fee schedule is what the Supreme Court is looking at. That is a falsehood. The Supreme Court is only looking at the letter that we delivered, and I personally delivered to Cole Township, signed by our chief clerk, signature, according to the courts, or according to the lawyers for Cole Township, was not verified. And that is the only issue that is going to be discussed by the Supreme Court. Nothing about permit fees. They have already concluded that they were excessive and that we are responsible, the county's taxpayers are responsible to get $267,320 back plus interest. So I know Joe addressed that yesterday. I just want to make sure that people know they are not, the Supreme Court is not looking at Cole Township's fees, the way they charge them. They're only looking at, was Mary Rose, when she signed that paper, a verification that she signed it? I delivered the letter myself, and I think there were enough writings in the papers to verify that the county did deliver that letter to the Cole Township. So I just want to clear that. That's one.
Well, Sam, why would the Supreme Court even care about that? I mean, it's.
Well, I think it is too, and I mean. I think we're going to just say, here's what happens. But even if, from what I'm being told by our attorney, if they would say the signature wasn't verified, maybe it had to be notarized. I don't know the law on that. The money that our taxpayers, $250,000 is a lot of money. And if, as you said yesterday, you can charge do the permit inspections. And we have found that even though Cole Township charged just $160,000 for that, they actually only paid the company that actually did the inspections $110,000. And then on top of that, Cole Township came out and charged another $220,000 just because they said they could. You can't do that. You can't. And that's why you have court. I know during the conversation, I think Mark or Joe, one of you asked Vinny, well, what's your, you know, how do you feel about the permit fees? And Vinny says, well, I really don't know nothing about it, and I'm not going to make a statement now. Well, listen, Vinny wrote letters to the editor about that me and Rick Shuck should drop the permit fees. We're wrong. He said that many times. He also, from what I was told, paid to put signs up in Cole Township at their municipal building and the recycling building saying that me and Rick Shuck were costing Cole Township taxpayers all this money for legal fees, and it was unfounded, and we should be dropping it. And you know, he makes statements that he didn't know. And I will tell you, I actually met with each Cole Township commissioner personally. And when I met with Craig Fetterman, Vinny Clousey was sitting right next to him. And we tried to discuss come to some reasonable, you know, and this was 4 years ago. Vinny says he don't know anything about permit fees. That's not true. And we could never settle it because all Cole Township wanted us to do was they would give us the money back if we would give it back to them and they could use it for their rec center. And that was never going to happen. I'm here to elect it to make sure I take care of the county taxpayers' money. And I have never had one call from Herndon or Sunbury or Milton with any taxpayer telling me that they want their tax dollars to go to Cole Township to make their budget, you know, to fill their budget.
Right.
And until that happens, I will continue to fight for the taxpayers here with this lawsuit.
Well, he also said during the course of his interview that you were the one that told him that your running mate doesn't come to work.
Well, Vinny says a lot of things. And he also said, Mr. Clouds, he also said that we're $6 million in the general fund in debt. And I will say that is not true. And that's one thing that could be proven because I know Vinny has said when he's elected, as he says, he is going to, in the first week, prove that we are $6 million in debt in the general fund. Is that correct? Have you heard that?
Yes.
I have heard it. I have had mailers come that say it. I have had text messages that come and say it. Well, let me make a statement right now, and this might be a first, but if Vinny and myself make it through the primaries, I will sign an affidavit or whatever. I'll even do it on your show saying that if I'm elected and Vinny Clousey in the first week of office can prove that we are $6 million in debt in our general fund, I will resign my position. Because if anyone is hiding $6 million in debt, they should be fired. But in turn, I would also like Vinny to agree to that if he cannot find $6 million in debt, that he, if elected, would also resign.
I think this
so
is an illegal
somebody's
gamble.
Somebody's telling the truth. Someone's telling the truth, and I think the taxpayers need to know who's telling the truth, and I'm willing to do that because I am in charge of the budget. And those are lies that he puts out. He puts them out in mailers and things. And, you know, that's one thing that, you know, you can debate whether the 911 system is running right or the prison is running right. But that's something that's concrete. You're saying we're $6 million in debt in a general fund.
prove it. If you have that, tell us now. Or if you want to wait till that first week, I'm willing to do that. But if you cannot prove it, resign. And if you can't prove it, I am telling the taxpayers, I will resign.
All right, a quickie question. The idea of work release inmates has come up a couple of times. We still don't have those established in Northumberland County. What's the impediment?
Well, now, of course, the issue with work release in the prison is our low staff. And you know, we've been working with staff and trying to work with the unions. We just gave them $1.50 an hour raise in January, which is a $3,000 raise for the year. You know, if we go back to Vinny says he's going to move in and give these guys $20 an hour, this and that. Well, let me tell you, when he left office in 2015, Vinny had reduced the prison salary from, I forget the exact number, but he reduced it when he left office. Why he reduced it, I don't know. In 2014, the salary was $1,369. And when he left office, he reduced the starting salary to $1,250. I don't know if he was trying to sabotage the prison or what he was doing. The two things I remember he did: reduced the starting salary for the COs, and the other thing was, of course, reduced the salary for the commissioners. Something that you know, he said in his eight years that it was a part-time position, and he still took the money for a full-time position. He actually received $200,000 more than any other commissioner from then on who would serve for 8 years. So, you know, those are things, you know, he says things, but look back and see what he actually did when he was in office.
All right. You also had a vision for a pre-release center out at the Northwestern site. Now it's, of course, Northumberland County site. Any hope for that?
What do you mean by a...
You had envisioned a continuum of criminal justice care there that involved rehab.
Yes.
I believe that is there.
Yes.
But
we are working with our BHIDS department, and we are setting that up, and that should, in the next few months, that should become to reality, working with them. We do have people working with those, people with drug and alcohol abuse and different suicide things and all, but we are going to increase that, and that should happen shortly. We're trying to make sure we get the right finances in order to do that. But one other thing I would like to address also, if you can give me the Celotex property, which keeps being brought up. I spent hours yesterday. Buchard Horn, who was the company hired by Vinny to do the study and to do all the development of the prison down at Celotex, they sent me hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages from all the dealings with that. And the final conclusion, and I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but the final conclusion when they did the study on the property and the study on the ground was that future use, and I'll read, this is the conclusion sentence, the future use of the property shall be restricted to non-residential. Now, of course, if it would be used for residential, meaning staying overnight, like a prison would have been, there had to be remediation done to the property. Non-residential, like what we're talking now with the city of Sunbury, putting in a mall, putting in a parking lot, putting in a warehouse, things like that. No, there wouldn't have to be remediation. But anything where there would be considered residential would mean there would have to be remediation. And some of the things found in there that jumped out to me that were above residential standards was arsenic and lead. And I assume people know what the factory was that was there, and maybe that attributed to that. But again, it could be used, and I want to make sure people understand this, as a non-residential facility, maybe a mall, something that you don't stay overnight. But if it's going to be a residential, we'd have to meet these standards, clean it up, and put some kind of barriers so that there would be no effect to the people that would be staying there overnight.
All right. We got you, Sam. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
Very much appreciated. All right. We'll take a quick break. We got another Northumberland County Commissioner on the line. Joe Claiborne is there, and we'll talk to him. And then we'll resume open phones, 570-743-9565. Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 570-743-9565 is our telephone number. We got texts and emails related to President Trump at CNN, both taking Joe and I to task for our observations. But first, we got another caller, another incumbent county commissioner, Republican Joe Claiborne, who is on the ballot this year, and he has a response to Vinnie Clausi's remarks as well. So good morning, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Joe.
Mark, good morning. Joe, good morning. Mark, I missed you when we were on the other week. Thanks for taking my call, and I appreciate it. After listening to your show yesterday, and then I saw something on Twitter with similar remarks, I felt I had to respond to this stuff. Every time there's something put out by Clausi, it's a lie. And I'm getting upset with these lies after lies, and the public has to realize this. The first thing is, it's hard to believe that he would make a statement like this. Sam says, "I don't come to work." I'm here at work. We keep attendance for every meeting, and my attendance is excellent, and it's not even questioned. And if somebody wants to see that, it's open to the public. One of the things we pride ourselves in our administration is being honest, having utmost integrity and transparency. So me not coming to work and him saying that, Sam said that, he said that he didn't make that up. Sammy told me. What a crock. Can you imagine my fellow co-worker, fellow commissioner, my running mate, making a statement? That's absurd for somebody to make a comment like that. And I know Sam. I trust him with my life. He would never say something like that. He probably wouldn't. If it was true, he might not even say it. But unbelievable to make a statement like that. That's the farthest thing from the truth. The other thing, he mentioned the federal, the prison. We have a lockdown. Sometimes it warrants a lockdown at the prison. It is not a federal crime to have a lockdown or whatever he's talking about. All right? That's another one. The next one would be the 911. Our 911 center has been fully staffed for a while now. And he mentioned that's not fully staffed. Another lie. All right? So the Celotex site, another thing. That was a mistake when it was bought for $2 million. The county taxpayers had to foot the bill for $2 million and put another $2 million into it. And the commissioners, Sam and Rick Shuck at the time, they ended up buying the campus, the South Campus, we call it, where the prison is built with a lot of acreage up there. And we were able to bring in some other entities, sell some of the land off, and make some money there. And also bring in some other entities that provide jobs and some treatment facilities. And we also have a plan to put in a fire facility, their fire training facility, where our firefighters in this county can use it, and also surrounding counties, and also a shooting range for our police officers. So there's a lot of good things that are happening at the South Campus. That Celotex site, we're trying to get that straightened out, get something in there that's going to be good for the residents of the county, and most importantly, the residents of Sunbury. That's been sitting idle now for, I don't know, 12 or 13 years. So to say that was wasteful spending, I think buying the Celotex site and putting $4 million of taxpayers' money in that during his administration, I think that's wasteful spending. What we've done up at the prison site has been nothing but beneficial for the citizens, all the citizens of the county. So I just wanted to get a couple things off my chest with that. It's one lie after another, and the people have to realize, they have to know that.
Well, I said to Mr. Clausi yesterday that his campaign seems to be aimed directly at you.
Yeah.
Is there any particular reason? Is there any past history of animosity? Or
I actually never met the guy. All right, never met him. he's done some business with my family. I know that with insurance, and I don't know why. But I think the reason why he's targeting me with, again, a lot of lies. You know, he says I go skiing. Big deal. You know, I go skiing. Everybody has a life. They can, you know, Mark, you were on vacation last week, you know. So I go skiing, and once in a while I like to go skiing. So what? And the other comment he made, I golf every day. I don't golf every day. If I was able to golf every day, I couldn't. I just, if I golf once in a while, that's my own business. And it's usually on the weekend. So, or for some charity event. But
county work's getting done, regardless of anything you may do in your
county's
off hours.
Getting work. Our county has been running smooth. There's been no grandstanding, no lawsuits. We've been working together trying to get good things done, and we've done good things for the county, and we're going to continue to do that.
All
but
right.
I appreciate you letting me voice my opinion on stuff. And the, Joe, did I answer your question there?
Yes, you did. You did.
All right. Well, listen, thank you so much, sir. You have an open mic, as everyone does, to call in and talk about the important issues of the day. So thank you, sir.
We appreciate you taking the time to give us a call. Thanks, Joe.
I appreciate letting me voice my opinion, and also, Sam, and get out there and vote for us on Tuesday to keep this county running the way it's been running the last 4 years. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
That's Joe Claiborne. He's a Northumberland County Commissioner, an incumbent, a Republican candidate for commissioner, specifically referring to some of the remarks of Vinnie Clausi. He was on the show yesterday, so they had their response. And anybody can call this show anytime and talk about county tasks. If you wish to call us now about operations or things in the county or things the candidates have said or things the commissioners have done, feel free to buzz us right now, 570-743.
If you want to complain about us.
Which somebody was not doing.
Right. We take that back. It says, on air or not, of course, I appreciate you both. This is from our last emailer. And I've said before I wouldn't want your job. I simply disagreed on the CNN host. The email subject line was that I was smiling. Carry on and have a great day.
Yeah, our email doesn't give us the emojis. It puts a little square where it was so we can't see
that. We can't see that it was smiling.
Right. So, thank you. Yeah.
But even if it wasn't, it wasn't a nasty email. It was just taking us to task.
Well, I took it personally. No, I'm just kidding.
You really?
And I think somebody else's demeanor and reactions is in the eye of the beholder. You know, if you love Caitlin Collins and you're a big CNN fan, if there is such a thing, you know, you probably thought she did a satisfactory job trying to truth check him last night as much as you could. And if you're not a fan of her and you're a President Trump supporter and you're wearing a MAGA hat in front of CNN last night, you're like, oh my gosh, she's trying to cook him or something.
Let's give President Trump credit. I mean, he went into the lion's den for him. And he stood there, and he gave as good as he got. So, you know, it was bound to be adversarial from the get-go, and that's, I think, why they CNN wanted to do it and why Trump wanted to take part in it.
Well, and the word is he wants to look presidential. He had a suburban limo train that brought him there yesterday with Secret Service all over the place and extra security added in. And then that's why he does this. That's what presidents do. They face the media.
Well, no,
halls.
Not our current president. He doesn't face the media at all.
Well,
he runs from the media.
He's just a vessel.
He has to take his naps. He can't do anything before 10 or after 4.
He can do a CNN town hall as long as they do it at noon.
Right.
Okay. All right. 5:07. Oh, that's lunchtime. All right. 1 p.m. Well, 1:30.
That's nap time.
Well, 2:30. No, that's tea time. 570-743-9565. We'd love to hear from you. Let me tell you about the Sunbury Motor Company. We're going back through the list of vehicles that they have at the Sunbury Motor Company. Let's talk about the Ford Escape. Fantastic. Fantastic vehicle, all-wheel drive. It's got a opportunity for you to get a smaller SUV, but still get maybe 35 miles to the gallon on the highway. It averages 30, but on the highway you can do really well. If you're a little lighter on the foot, Joe, it won't kill you. One of the smaller engine options, you got a wide range of options on the Escape, but 1.5-liter turbo engine, and it's three cylinders. So this, the Ford Escape, is definitely an economical vehicle. You can't spend more than than $40,000 to get one. And you can't go 120 miles an hour, Joe, so you don't have to worry about that.
Doggone.
Yeah, so this vehicle is not for Joe. Joe wants a Ford Escape with a V8, so it's like, it's all engine.
Do they got a 12?
No. You need an old Jaguar for that. But anyway, there is an opportunity for you to buy one of these, Joe, because there is one on the lot at the Sunbury Motor Company, Ford Escape. Available at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. You can call us now, 570-743-9565. Put Rob to work. We've talked a little bit on the Sullivan County Commissioner's race, and we've talked about President Trump versus Caitlin Collin last evening on CNN. So,
and the district attorney's race in Northumberland.
Oh, yeah, we had an actual attorney candidate here.
Yes.
So, yep.
And we have Doug. Doug saying, I'm not sure that the host on CNN was nasty last night, but she got beat down. It was a town hall meeting, and she seemed more interested in debating Trump than simply asking her questions and just letting him go with it. The simple fact is that Trump is a master on stage at a setting like that. Not that anyone who hates him is going to change their minds. Okay, you wrote down gyro. They'll just hate him more. But after watching that, I do believe that some people who were ready to move on from Trump may now be back on the Trump train because nobody else can deal with the corrupt politicians and the media like he does.
Well, I like that. Some good points in there. Yeah, I think I know some marginal Trump supporters who said they were very impressed, and they just thought that he acted presidential in their,
Listen, if he could get off the path. If he could say, yes, we disagree what happened in 2020, but I'm not about that anymore. I want to move on. I want to give you my view of how I'm going to straighten out this mess Joe Biden has made here
border,
in this country. Right.
Inflation.
I don't care who wins the war. I don't want any winners or losers. I want it to stop. I want the killing to stop. I want the borders returned.
We got to fix. Gas prices are plummeting. Unemployment's, what, only 3% or something? The economy's a booming.
Which is good. Yeah. Well, it's not a booming. It's a flopping along. It's a flopping.
Recession is predicted.
Yeah, well, it's only 5%, Mark. Why? Well, that's
the
easy
inflation.
Enough to deal with.
Right? No, I said recession. Yeah, inflation's only 5%.
One of our emailers, Cliff, says, how about Biden agrees to cut spending by, say, 5% in exchange for a clean debt ceiling bill? He makes a promise, which he'll be accountable for, and McCarthy promises to send a clean debt ceiling bill increase.
I don't know that President Biden can cave now. He's been so adamant about the fact that he won't negotiate at all whatsoever, period. I think he has to save face and keep his arms folded no matter what.
Well, he made another gaffe yesterday, flying in the face of everything that Karine Jean-Pierre the Liar has to say about him. He's admitted that there's been chaos at the border for several years.
Oh, oops. Yeah. almost the exact same time she's at the microphone saying that chaos isn't the right characteristic.
That Donald Trump did it, but, he's obviously admitting that there's chaos there. He's part of it.
Well, he probably watches Fox. One of our listeners sends us a text and says, President Trump and President Biden should not try and run again for president. We need younger people and new faces in our government and in office. And do we really... dot, dot, dot. And then another listener says, when Mike O'Donnell was here, asked the candidate if there's illegal use of firearms in crimes will the accused be prosecuted to the full extent of the law's no pleas. Well, there are mandatory sentences associated with some firearms. It's like if you use a firearm in the commission of a felony, there's an enhancement, they call it, that goes at sentencing, right, not at the prosecution level. It could still be pled, but yeah, Mike is gone, but he says he has an active O'Donnell for Facebook page if folks want to hit that up.
And then Dick says, Donald Trump sat down and gave a deposition on his rape trial. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. Trump's words played to the jury. And when you are a star, they let you you can do anything.
No, that's the Hollywood team.
Grab them by the... And that's a P word there. You can do anything, the tape continued, when he considered himself a star, and that it has been that way for at least a million years, or the last million years, that stars can pretty much do what they want to do.
Yeah, that's a transcription of the Hollywood tape.
This on tape for all to hear. This, to me, is why he should not sit in a courtroom and be cross-examined by an attorney. Why he should not? Oh, his own words. I know that to many, they will still give him a pass. I wonder how your women listeners would like this. It was their female relative that this happened to.
Yeah, that's from the Hollywood Access tape, and Republicans did give him a pass, and he got elected president anyway.
I think what somebody said even this morning on MSNBC, that this stuff's all on the record.
Right, and I think Republicans and Democrats, for all the many flaws of President Biden, they're not really the moral. It's not a campaign like before where you had like a John McCain running, you know, versus a Hillary Clinton where you could really look at their past and things mattered. For both of these guys, nothing matters. They, you know, Biden's a D. He's not an R. And Trump is an R. He's not a D. And, of course, Republicans in greater momentum seem to think President Trump can retake the White House.
Well, he may be able to, but I can't imagine that he would. First of all, I mean, he people knew how he behaved the last time, and they didn't vote for him. Well, 72
it's
million
good
voted for
this show.
Him. Right. 72 million people voted for him, which is more than any presidential candidate ever got in the past, and he lost with that number of votes. I mean, let's face it, he's a lightning rod, just as some of the political candidates we've talked to in this studio about local elections are lightning rods. You either love them or you hate them, but you're seldom at odds about how you feel. I mean, you hate them.
I feel about Donald Trump.
Nobody's indifferent or ambivalent about Donald Trump. I mean, you would love him or hate him. I love his policies. I think his policies were great for this country. And if I could get his policies with a nicer Donald Trump, I'd take it. But if I could get his policies without Donald Trump, I'd take that too.
Well, maybe you can get that because if any of this has any impact, he won't be the front runner then. And then you can decide, does Ron DeSantis have the right policies or Asa Hutchinson? Or really, you got some fabulous people on the Republican bench.
Yes, you do. And so, I hope they all come out. I hope they all get into the race.
Dems are vulnerable.
All right.
If
the V word.
If it's not Trump on the ticket.
Okay.
We'll carry this on tomorrow. We got another Greg Stuck will be here. He's a candidate. Ben Reichle will be the host. And we might hear from Congressman Muser during the 9 a.m. hour. This is WKOK Sunbury.